Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter beginning at verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord from the Apostle Paul. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Once again, this morning we've included some teaching notes for you to use as we go through this message together, and I would invite you to find those and to follow along as you feel called to do so. This morning, we're beginning a series of sermons on the theme that Paul comes back to again and again in this letter to the Philippians, and that theme is joy. Now, sometimes on Tuesday mornings when George Cananizado and I are here with the Little Friends Nursery School having chapel time, we lead them in this song about joy. And if you know this song, I'm going to ask that you sing it along with me this morning. Are you ready? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. And then the refrain, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I found the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I found the love of Jesus in my heart. And with those 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, we just keep on singing. And I sing every verse that I can remember from my Sunday school days. And it's wonderful as we come together in Christ that we celebrate the joy that is ours. You know, joy is at the heart of God's plan for us. In the 15th chapter of John, verse 11, Jesus tells us that he came to this earth so that his joy might be in us and so that our joy might be complete. Complete joy. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be a joyful people. But we look at the world around us, and we might ask the question that is in number 1 in your teaching notes. How is it possible to become a joyful person in such a pain-filled world? You know, over these past few weeks, we've had some tough times here in the United States. This week, wildfires swept across parts of northern and southern California. Thousands of homes destroyed, entire communities wiped out. More than 30 people have died. 2 weeks ago, a gunman opened fire from a hotel room window in Las Vegas onto a crowd of 22,000 people. 59 were killed, more than 500 injured. The week before that was Hurricane Maria devastating Puerto Rico. 85% of that island still without power. Millions of people displaced with an uncertain future. And before that, it was Hurricane Irma bringing destruction to Florida's Gulf Coast. And before that, Hurricane Harvey causing historic flooding in Houston and the Gulf Coast of Texas. And not long before that, white supremacists marched in Charlottesville, Virginia, reminding us that the evil forces of wickedness are still at work in this world. There was news that deaths from opioid overdose are at epidemic proportions. And then the tension with North Korea and other parts of the world. And personally, I know that several of you have had some tough times in recent weeks as well. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be a joyful people. But how can we be a joyful people in a pain-filled world? Well, here in his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul shows us the way to joy. Do you know where Paul is when he writes this letter? Paul is in a dungeon in Rome. Paul is in chains for preaching the gospel of Christ. And he's awaiting trial. He doesn't know if he will live or if he will be executed. And yet, throughout this letter, the amazing thing is that Paul exudes such tremendous joy. Now, Paul would want us to see that there is a difference between happiness and joy. And as it says there in your notes, happiness is based on what is happening around you, and joy is based on what's happening within you. Happiness is based on the circumstances around you, and joy is based on the circumstances within you. Imagine that you're lost in the desert and you've been walking for days. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're totally exhausted. You don't know if you can continue on. And then this stranger mysteriously just walks up to you there in the middle of the desert and hands you a bottle of water. Now, you're happy about that, but there's something in your mind that is telling you that 16 ounces of water is not going to last you very long out there in the desert. And after you gulp down that water, you know that you will be thirsty again. That bottle of water we might think of as being like happiness. You know, there's nothing wrong with the pursuit of happiness. And God has given us so many good gifts to enjoy. God has given us relationships. God has given us work to do. God has given us places to live and cars to drive and clothes to wear and good food to eat and so much, much more. God wants us to enjoy all of His good gifts. God wants you and me to experience happiness in life. But happiness is fragile. And the things that we pursue to make us happy, whatever they might be, are all temporary. They're like that bottle of water to the wanderer in the desert. When you're in the desert, you don't just want a bottle of water. What you want to know is where that water came from. You want to know, how can I find the source that will care for my thirst forever? Well, joy is something deeper, something more lasting than happiness. The New Testament word for joy describes deep contentment, lasting peace, eternal pleasure. Joy is not based only on what's happening around you. It comes from within you. It comes when you are connected to the source of joy, Jesus Christ the Lord. Joy flows from the one true source, Jesus our Lord. And so at the beginning of this service, we repeated my favorite verse in the book of Philippians, which comes near the end of the book in chapter 4 and verse 4. And let's read that together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Joy is found by being connected to Jesus, the source of joy. The late devotional writer Henry Nouwen wrote that quote that's there in your notes. He wrote, joy does not just happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. Even in chains in a Roman prison, the Apostle Paul chose joy. And he kept choosing it every day. And you and I, we can choose joy as well, even in a pain-filled world. And how we choose joy is by staying close to the source of joy, staying close to Jesus. Now, as we go through this series together and through this letter of Paul to the Philippians, we're going to discover some things that were part of Paul's life that helped him to stay close to the source of joy. And in our text for today, we discover one of those things that kept the joy just flowing in Paul's life, even in dire circumstances. Paul had genuine fellowship with others that knew the source of joy. Paul had genuine fellowship with his brothers and sisters in Philippi, and they knew also, like him, where joy comes from. As it says in number 3 in your notes, genuine fellowship is one of our greatest joy givers. In every letter Paul wrote, he reminded his readers that life in Christ is not meant to be lived alone, but it's meant to be shared with others. God intends for you and me to experience life together. You know, you hear some people say, and maybe you've heard some people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to belong to any church. And whenever I hear that, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Because the church is where we live out what it means to be a Christian. For someone to say that, it's like a football player saying, well, I'm a football player, but I don't want to play on any team. It just doesn't work. Or it's like a bee saying, I'm a bee, but I don't want to be part of any hive. A Christian without a church family is an orphan. God meant you and me to be part of a family. God meant for us to have genuine fellowship within the body of Christ. Fellowship is experiencing life together. Now, today that word fellowship has lost a lot of its biblical meaning. Often when we use the word fellowship, we're referring to socializing and having fun and sharing food. And we invite you today to stay after worship for fellowship over in the multipurpose room where there will be coffee and to wake you up after the sermon and some refreshments to share. But from the biblical point of view, real fellowship, the kind of fellowship that connects you and me to the source of joy, is the kind of fellowship that Paul describes in our text for today. It's much more than just showing up in church for an hour on Sunday. You know, as it says in your notes, we can worship with a crowd. And it's wonderful to come together in a larger gathering like this on Sunday morning and to worship our God. Worshiping with you is a great source of joy in my life. But we fellowship in a small group. Every Christian needs the fellowship of a small group. That's why we have such a long-standing commitment in this church to Sunday school. We have a separate hour between this service and the next one dedicated to Sunday school because we believe that every adult and every student and every child ought to be part of a Sunday school class. For in the Sunday school, we engage in genuine fellowship. And there are numerous other small groups within our church family. Some of them meet in the church. Others meet in people's homes. Others meet in other places in the community. And the focus of those groups is different as well. Some of our small groups focus on music. Others focus on Bible study. Others focus on service. Others focus on care and support for one another. But according to Paul, every small group in the church, whether it's a class, a choir, a Bible study group, a group focused on service, or whatever, every group within the church ought to be experiencing genuine, heart-to-heart fellowship. Paul describes for us here what that kind of fellowship looks like. First of all, he tells us that genuine fellowship is centered in Christ. It's centered in Christ. You know, the church is different from the service club. The church is different from the music group, the sports team, the book club. All of these serve a great purpose in our lives. But the focus of those groups is different. The difference in the church is that the relationships that we form here have Jesus Christ, the source of joy, at the center of them. Look at verses 3-5 in our Philippians 1. I thank my God every time I remember you, Paul writes, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. Those who share genuine fellowship, according to Paul, are bound together by two things. They're bound together by prayer, and they're bound together by sharing the gospel. You see, genuine Christian fellowship is undergirded with prayer. And notice how Paul writes that he's constantly praying for his friends in Philippi. And I wonder, what would it look like if all of us made the commitment that the Apostle Paul had made and that we would, every one of us, be in constant prayer for the people who are part of our fellowship? What if you wrote down the names of every member of your class, or your choir, or your Bible study group, or the committee that you're on, And what if you lifted each of them up by name day by day? Prayer, Paul tells us, forms strong bonds that cannot be broken. And it unites us so that in our love for each other, we are sharing the gospel with those around us. Genuine fellowship is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, in genuine fellowship, we encourage one another. In verse 6, Paul writes this, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ." Words of encouragement for people who are struggling to keep on keeping on for Jesus in a world where there is so much against them. Paul encourages them saying, "I am confident that the good work that we started will be completed." You know, genuine fellowship begins and happens when we're willing to share our fears, to admit our hurts, to ask one another for help. In our first appointment at the Emmigsville and Longstown churches, two churches just outside of York, Pennsylvania, both churches had women's groups. One of them met the second Tuesday of each month, and the other one met the third Tuesday of each month. I still remember that because both women's groups expected that their pastor and his wife would attend every meeting. And they even arranged for childcare for us at the parsonage so that Betsy and I could be there. Well, for 7 years, every month, Betsy and I attended the women's group at each of our churches. And I have to tell you that I certainly learned a lot from that experience. The Bible studies and the programs that we did in those two little churches with those women were sincere. And you can laugh at that. And also, I have to say, though, that the Pennsylvania Dutch food was outstanding. And we never ate dinner before we went to those meetings. And the bond of love among those women was so strong that it blessed Betsy and me over and over again. During our time there, some of those women went through some really tough times. There were health problems, there were financial problems, there were marriage problems, there were problems with kids. But there was so much encouragement. Every time we met, those women had a way of lifting each other up in genuine fellowship. And attending those meetings filled us with joy. Now, I know that many of you have experienced that kind of fellowship in your life as well. And my prayer would be that every one of us here could experience those kind of relationships, because we were not created to face the troubles of our lives all by ourselves. We all need the encouragement that is found in that fellowship where people are gathered in the name of Jesus and focused on lifting each other up in love. Genuine fellowship is centered in Christ, and it is such an encouragement to us. And then as we continue to read on here, we discover that in genuine fellowship, we experience grace. We experience grace. You know, grace is the free gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. And we can experience that in our relationships with each other. Within the body of Christ, we can say to each other, you know, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We can say to each other, I'm with you, no matter what. Paul's words are just so filled with grace for his sisters and brothers in Philippi. Look at verse 7. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Now notice those two beautiful phrases that Paul uses. You hold me in your heart, and how I long for all of you. They loved Paul, and Paul loved them. I mean, Paul was like thousands of miles away from Philippi, in a dungeon, in chains. And yet as we read this letter, it's just as if he's right there in their house church with them. In genuine fellowship, we experience grace. The New Testament uses the phrase one another 58 times. 58 times we are instructed about our life together. And that's because in Jesus Christ, we belong to each other. Mother Teresa spent her life working among the poor in Calcutta, India. And someone once asked her, how do you handle the death and disease on a daily basis? And how do you do all of those difficult things that you do from day to day? And Mother Teresa said, every person I bathe, every person I bandage, I imagine seeing the face of Jesus. In genuine fellowship, we experience that kind of grace. I look at you, and you look at me, and we see in each other the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine fellowship is centered in Christ, the source of joy. Genuine fellowship is such an encouragement to us because it's a place where we experience God's grace. And here's the last thing. Genuine fellowship is a powerful witness in a pain-filled world. Look at the first part of verse 9. Paul writes, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more. You know, as I was reading that, I was thinking about, what do we want to be known for at First Church Mechanicsburg? When people think of our church, what do we want them to think of? Do we want to be known for our music, our programs, our facilities? Do we want to be known for how we serve in the community? What do we want to be known for? Our worship, our preaching, our good food. You know, these are all wonderful things, and they're all an important part as we advance the mission of making disciples in this community. But above all, there is something more to be known for. We want to be known for love, for genuine fellowship that can be experienced here as we develop loving relationships with each other. Jesus said to his disciples, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, if you're not currently in a small group, if you're not currently in a place where you can experience genuine fellowship, I encourage you to find one. We have them all listed out every Sunday in our bulletin. And if you are already involved in a group, I encourage you to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. May all of us be committed to the experience of genuine Christian fellowship in every group in this church. For it is when we relate to each other in this way that we get connected to the source, that we become a joyful people in Jesus Christ. A joyful people. Loving one another as Christ has loved us. What a powerful witness. What a powerful witness joy is in a pain-filled world. I would invite us as we close our service today to stand and sing this great hymn as we celebrate the fellowship God has given us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pray. Oh God, we are blessed. We are blessed by the ties that bind us together in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bind us together in love, with cords that cannot be broken. Let our relationships in everything we do bear witness to the world of the love that you have for us and the joy we find in you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, today and always. Amen.